Good morning and shalom. This morning, I want to welcome you into the journey of studying. We have been in the book of John, chapter number 10, and today we just want to look at verses 22 to verses 30. This is very important. The major topic we have been talking about is that we are decorating our crowns of rejoicing. And the crown of rejoicing, you only decorate it according to scripture of 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. You do that by taking the people of God as your crown. It is by winning these people of God. It is by bringing people to Jesus Christ. You win them, you don't force them, you don't neglect them, you don't witchcraft them, you don't manipulate them, but you bring them willingly. You appeal to their willingness. You help them to choose. You help them to want to love Christ. We have looked at a different number of souls. You have looked at unbelief. You have looked at the people at the valley of the shadow of death. We have looked at the fearful. We have looked at those that are despised. We have looked at the hurting. We have looked at those that are blind. We have looked at the thirsty souls. How do you bring them? We have looked at how do you bring the hungry souls to the Lord or to Christ Jesus. We have looked at how do you bring those who are in the darkness, in the valley of darkness. We have also looked at how you attempt to bring those who are in the house of the Lord for many years, like 38 years, but they have not been able to experience the mercies of God. So they cannot be able to scaffold, or they cannot be able to connect to the grace of God. How do you help them? How do you win them to do that? And we have been learning from Jesus as an example. Our model is Jesus in the book of John. Today, we want to look at how you can win souls of critics. You see, you have a group of people who are called critics. Critics are people who always look for an answer to fight what you say. As you tell them or as you communicate with them, they have already made up their mind that what you're doing is wrong. And whatever they see in you, they look for an answer for a wrong thing. You might have done 100 good things, but when you've done one wrong thing, they capitalize on that one and they make everything you've done to look bad. They are like the example that is given on when you are helping people to understand how to not criticize or how to look for the right thing. For example, you give them a paper, and the paper is white. And it has only one dot or two dots. And when you ask people, what do you see in this paper? Now, not many people who are going to see the white, they only see the dots. They will say, hey, I can see two dots in this paper. And these dots are from this color and all that. So you see, the focus on that, these are the critics. How do you win such people? Jesus had people who are called these critics. The good thing is critics always ask them a question. Now, in the book of John, there are those critics who went to Jesus, and he was at the court, in the temple, at the court, in the place where they call Solomon's colonnades in the temple that time. And the Bible says that Jesus was just moving about. This is very good for you to realize. But there are those people, they were asking themselves a question. Is Jesus the Messiah? Now, this is a good thing that every critic, they have a question they keep on asking. And that's where you start. When you want to win them, it's good to realize what is the main question. What is that thing that is a suspense to them? What is that question they have in their mind that they might not be asking you, and they might be not asking anyone, but sometimes they will not live with that. They will look for someone to ask. That means they have been asking themselves. That is the point of entry. And these people were, is Jesus the Messiah? Now, before I give Jesus his answer, it would be good for me to give Peter's answer. In the book of First Peter, chapter number 3, if you are there, you can write. I want to read from verses 13. Peter also gave the same. Peter was a disciple of Jesus who learned from Jesus how to win, how to answer critics, source of the critics. Now, what this is called apologetics. Apologetic because they are the one who are asking. They are asking, they have come to ask you. Actually, they asked Jesus. Look at that. Peter said, verses that 1 Peter 3:13, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? That's a question. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. There are some things that you don't do. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, revere Christ. All fear God. All honor Christ as Lord. Worship Jesus as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, for the righteous, for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Now you see, when you are dealing or winning the souls of critics, number one, it's good for you not to be afraid. Do not fear their threats. That's number one. Don't let fear come to you. Critics, sometimes they are there to create fear. Now, again, do not be frightened. Make it in your mind that fear will not be your portion as you answer their question. But also, get to know that they might not even harm you. But even if they should harm you, don't fear. Be also ready to receive any harm for doing the right thing. I think this kind of preparation is very good. But also, he says, if you don't fear, what do you also do? In place of fear, revere Christ as Lord. That is, fear Christ as Lord in your heart. This is about heart issue. You worship Christ. You make Christ your Lord. You make sure that the only one that controls you is not their fear, but their is the love of Christ. But also be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, this is the most important part of answering a critic. You have been preparing yourself in the Bible, verse to verse, word by word, and you have been learning who Christ is. You have been using your time to learn the genuine. Do not focus on the fake information. But always in your life, continue to learn the genuine message, the genuine good news. Knowing that sometimes you'll be asked to give a reason. Each one of us. Because people, critics are always asking themselves, is Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus God? Give us a proof so that we can come to you. And so Peter says, be ready to do that. When they ask, you may not go, you may not front your answer to them. As I said the other day, for the critics, you may not go looking for them house to house. I know I sound funny, but you see, there are times they are not ready for your answer. And you might be found wasting your gold on swines, as Jesus said. But be ready. One day they will ask you. But you know, there is reason for you, for the hope that you have. But as you do this, do with two things: gentleness and respect. Always respect your critics. Do not condemn them. Do not rebuke them. Don't say, you hypocrites. This is what Moses failed. When Moses was being asked and challenged, he rebuked them. He said, you critics, you evil men, should I give you water? Peter says, do it in gentleness and in respect. Not only that, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against the good behavior, they may be ashamed of their slander. Now, I want you to know that Jesus was very good in this. In John 10, 20, 22 to 30, Jesus was able to answer those critics very well. And this is what he did. Jesus, when they came and asked Jesus, are you Christ? Why are you keeping us in suspense? Jesus said, I already told you that I'm Christ, but you did not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. If you are of my sheep, you'd have listened to my voice. She said, I have already told you. Very gentle Jesus, as he answers them. So he told them that I am Christ. Then he told them that my Father would keep. Now, them that my Father has given me, I will keep them. My hands, I'll protect them by my hands. Nobody can take them from my hands, those sheep of mine. Remember, he is answering his critics. Then he said, my Father also will keep them strong. That means nobody can snatch them from my Father. So he also said, he appealed and told them, I'm also the Son of God. My Father and myself are one. Apart from myself being the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. Messiah means I'm the anointed one. I'm the one that was sent. I'm the one that you have been looking for. I'm the one that was prophesied by the old prophets. They talked about me. I am God. Messiah is Emmanuel. I am God in human flesh. I have been sent here. I'm not man who is making myself God, as they were claiming. These critics were claiming that, are you not man who claims to be God? It's the other way around. I am God who have become flesh. And I came here so that I can die for your sins. But those that I have taken, nobody can snatch me from my hands and from my Father's hands. So he said that I'll give them life. And he said, I will give them eternal life. So he spoke things that no other person can speak about from God. Remember, his critics, they are following. But finally, he said something that I'm 100% God and I'm 100% man. And finally, he said something in John 10 and verses 30. My Father and I are the same. I like this. We are of the same nature. We are of my Father and myself are one. He's speaking to them. And he's winning them. What does that mean? There are three things that I would just mention for you to know that Jesus claimed to be God. When he says that my Father and I are the same nature, he claimed to be God. What does that mean? My Father is omnipresent. He is present everywhere all the time. He said, I am of the same nature. I am present everywhere. Apart from this time, I have come to die for you. My nature is that I'm present everywhere, every time. Number two, my Father is omnipotent. He is almighty. He has all the strength. He's all powerful. But he said, I've got all the power here on earth and all the authority. But he also said, my father is ever knowing. He knows everything. He says, I also know that. That is the same nature with father. Then he says, of the same nature, my father is holy, but I'm holy. And you can continue. There are so many God's nature and attributes that you can give to critics to help them understand Jesus has all the same nature. So as you deal with critics, do this. Just be ready to know that they will ask you of a question. Wait for those moments. Jesus was in the temple, walking around. He was not even moving to them. He knew they would come. Make yourself available. Let them see the light in you. Let them come. But as they come, don't fear them. Be ready to answer. And as you answer, be gentle. Respect them. Don't rebuke them. Don't throw stones on them. But Jesus here, when Jesus finished, he won a few of them. Of course, others wanted to kill him, but he kept on winning. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to win our critics. Help us to know how we can bring the people who do not fear you, who are hostile to us and who are critics to us, who criticize everything we do. Give us the spirit of grace, the spirit of love to them in Jesus' name.